It's The Record. I'm Ross Reynolds in for Bill Radke. You're listening to KUOW, Sound Stories, Sound Voices. And we're going to talk about sound stories in a moment. What does summer read mean to you? Is it different from your fall, winter, spring reads? Is that because school's out and maybe you're taking time away from work so you've got more time for discretionary reading as opposed to mandatory reading? When summer comes around, are you looking for something light and frothy? Something to read at the beach? Carl Hiaasen, a murder mystery, a romance novel, a true crime novel? Or is summer the time when you dig into that big book that now you have time to tackle? Gravity's Rainbow, Capital in the 20th Century. Do you look for summer reads that will put you more in touch with the world? Or are you looking for something to read that will take you away from the world we live in? I'm asking today, what makes for a good summer read and why? You can call us at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-5869. Or you can tweet at us at KUOW. KUOW's youth media program, Radioactive, hit the streets of Seattle to ask for the wisdom of the crowd.
What's your favorite beach read and why?
I like reading historical fiction on the beach because then it's like, since there's nothing really out there except for the water, you can really easily visualize like the battles or like the speeches taking place.
I like, I guess, Pride and Prejudice. It's kind of silly, it's lighthearted.
I think I would read a book about geology of sand, about the evolution of that beach and like how the minerals on that beach originated there.
I can't give you a title or an author, but I can tell you this much. It's got to be very, very easy reading, definitely a girlfriend book, and usually it's something about a southern woman in her escapades.
A girlfriend book. Got to be a girlfriend book. Do you have a summer read that you'd like to suggest to us, or are you looking for a good book to crack open on the beach? We have two voracious readers here to help you figure out what you need to read, and you can ask them for recommendations by calling us at 206-543-5869. Come up with a genre or an area, and I'm sure these guests will have a book for you. They are Zoe Fisher, writer, lecturer, and librarian at Pierce College, and Tom Nisley, author of A Reader's Book of Days. He also owns Finney Books. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Ross.
Thank you.
Let's start out with your definition of a summer read. What do you think about when you hear summer book or beach read? Zoe?
I think it can be any genre, but it needs to be a book that gives the reader pleasure and escape. You know, lots of people are traveling over the summer, so you might be on a long car ride or on a plane. You need a book that really grabs you and enthralls you. And it might also just be something that helps you relax while you're at home during a staycation.
Tom, does it have to be an easy book?
Not necessarily. I think when I think of beach reads and when I pack for the beach, I think of time and something that I don't have the rest of the year so that I can actually dive into a book, whether it's an easy book or a hard book, where I can actually give it the attention that I just don't have the rest of the year.
So give me an example of each of those, something that you is on your bookshelf right now that you're reading, Tom.
Well, when I went, I had a week at the beach last month. It was very washy. It was 60 degrees and drizzly, so I did a lot of reading.
There's Washington beaches for you.
Yeah, and I'd been wanting to tackle. What I actually did was I usually read ahead. I'm trying to keep up with what's coming out. I went back and read stuff that people at our store have loved that I hadn't read. So I started Rachel Cusk's trilogy, three novels, Outline, Transit, and Kudos. And the third one just came out, so now I feel like I can read them all. So it was my chance to dig into something bigger. And I read the first one, Outline, and I loved it.
Zoe, what's your summer reading, and are you enjoying it?
Yes, I was just in New York City over the weekend. I went to the Strand, and I bought Virginia Woolf, A Room of One's Own, and the new Terrence Hayes book of poetry. So to me, poetry and fiction are pleasurable reads, and that's why I love reading over the summer.
I don't know if I intended it to be summer reading, but with Philip Roth's passing, I picked up Sabbath's Theater, which I'd never read before, which is kind of trashy and fun, actually. It actually feeds into a summer read. What's your summer read? 206-543-5869, or are you looking for a summer read recommendation? 206-543-5869. Zoe Fisher, writer, lecturer, librarian at Pierce College, is with us, as is Tom Nisley, author of A Reader's Book of Days, and you may have run into him if you've ever gone into Finney Books, because he owns that. So let's talk a little bit about the element of guilty pleasure in a summer read? And I think I know where you're going to go on this. Is it a guilty pleasure? Is a summer read the kind of a book that you're really going to enjoy, but maybe you don't want people to see the cover of, Zoe?
You know, as a librarian, I think we don't judge what people read. As long as you're reading, I'm happy. I think that anything that makes you excited, makes you want to crack open that spine and read that book, you shouldn't feel bad about it. And one of the principles I think about a lot as a librarian is that every book has its reader. You know, there's either a book you like or you don't like, and you shouldn't feel bad about it.
How about you, Tom?
Yeah, I totally agree. Booksellers are like librarians. We don't judge. I think I thought of this recently. My wife called me up and said, bring me home something fluffy. And I know her well enough that she actually doesn't want something fluffy. She wants something that involves her. If she thinks it's stupid, she's not going to like it. Mm-hmm. So what she wanted was something that she could sink her teeth into, that read easily but yes. wasn't stupid, I mm-hmm. think. My favorite book like that recently, that one of our other booksellers just discovered, it's about 20 years old. It's Australian. It's called The Women in Black. And it's a Christmas story. So maybe wouldn't feel like it's right for this time, but in Australia, summertime is Christmas time. So it's actually a summer story. And it's about women who work in a department store in Sydney in the 50s. And it is a comedy. And it is the most charming, delightful book I've read in years. It doesn't want it to be anything but a comedy. And it wraps everything up in a neat bow, just the way you want it to. And so that's the one I've been handing out at the store.
See, women working in a department store in Sydney, everything wrapped up in a neat bow, mm-hmm. not like the world today,
yes.
in the least. very different from the world today. And that kind of gets to the question of not going to use the word should, but is the ideal summer read something that brings us closer to the world or kind of gives us some respite from the world the way a summer vacation does? What do you think, Tom?
Well, I think, it's a story about female empowerment. So I think you could read it and feel like it is about the world that we live in today, but in it's kind of a better world than we live in today. So I think it has a little of both.
Sure.
And that, to me, that's kind of the ideal.
We're going to get to Jeff, who's on the line in a moment. We're at 206-543-5869. Tell us about your summer read, or if you'd like a recommendation from Zoe or Tom, I'm sure they can come up with one for you. How about that, Zoe? Does a summer read for you bring you closer to the world, take you away from the world?
When I was thinking about memorable summer reads from my childhood and my past, they were fantasy. So Harry Potter is a big one for me. You know, those books were always published in June or July when they came out. Harry Potter's birthday is July 31st, so I really associate the Harry Potter books and that sort of fantasy and magic and escape with summer. And I think that's totally appropriate. I also love the Dangerous Angels series by Francesca Leah Block. They're set in sort of a fantasy version of Los Angeles. Weetsie Bat is one of those books and it's being adapted into a film, which I'm very excited about. So for me, when I think of summer and I think of summer reading, I think of escape and worlds that are a little more magical and less real than our own.
Summer reads, looking for things to take to the beach or the hammock. 206-543-5869. We've got Jeff on the line. Jeff, do you have a question about a summer read, or do you have a summer read you'd like to share with us?
I have a summer read recommendation, actually.
Okay. What's that?
It's a book called Sea of a Thousand Words. It was written by a local author named Christine Wallace.
Sea of a Thousand Words.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And why
and
is
it's
it a,
her,
why
I'm sorry?
Is it a, why is it a good summer book?
First off, it takes place here in the Northwest, so it's great for this region. It's a sort of a climate fiction refugee kind of science fiction kind of novel. But it's really fast and gripping. It really, you get into it and you can't put the book down. It's so enjoyable.
That sounds like a great recommendation. Have either of you heard of that book?
I'm writing the title down right now.
All right. You stumped the panel. Good work, Jeff. Thanks for your phone call. We're at 206-543-5869. Following Jeff, we have Jeffrey on the line. Jeffrey, thanks for your phone call today. Do you have a recommendation for a summer read, or are you looking for a summer read?
I'm looking for a summer read.
Okay.
I enjoy David Grisham and David Baldacci.
Okay.
And kind of those CIA-type thrillers. And I was wondering if you had a recommendation of a similar genre but a different author.
All right. Summer recommendation for people who like Baldacci, that kind of mystery thing. What do you have to suggest, Tom or Zoe?
There's a spy series, and I'm blanking on. Oh, Jason Matthews.
Jason Matthews.
Yeah, okay. And the first book in the series is called Red Sparrow. It's about Russia and the U.S. I think he worked in the CIA for decades. He knows what he's talking about. My father-in-law, who has read bookshelves of those kinds of books, said it was the Best Buy book he's ever read.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of a national security. And then there's a movie. It turned into a movie.
I thought that was a
right.
movie.
And
yes.
Now I think the three books are out in the series. So very contemporary. It might feel maybe too contemporary, but no, that's been my book to give out.
Did you see the movie?
I haven't seen the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you have to recommend, Zoe, for someone who that taste of spy novels?
Yeah, if someone is interested in crime and murder mystery and maybe likes a darker story for summer reading, the book that I can't stop thinking about is I'll Be Gone in the Dark by Michelle McNamara. She's a spouse of Patton Oswalt. She passed away in April of 2016, and she's a true crime writer, and she was obsessed with the Golden State Killer in California, finding who he was and bringing him to justice. And tragically, they did find him this April of this year.
After her book came
after
out.
Her, wow. And so, yeah, her book was published in February. They found the killer a couple months after that. But if you're like me, you can avoid spoilers by reading the whole book first and then go and look up the details of the case and read the news stories from April of this year. It's, it's grisly. It's dark. But also there's something about it being set in California, these beach communities. We think of California as this sunny vacation place, but there were these grisly rapes and murders committed there. And Michelle McNamara was obsessed with this case, had, knew every detail about it, wanted to find out who this guy was. And it's really gripping and really exciting. So if you like true crime or murder mystery, I really recommend it.
That's great. Hey, Jeffrey, by the way, you can put down your pencil. We're actually compiling this list and all the books we're talking about are going to be online and available for you to take a look at. So if you're listening and you hear something that catches your ear, we'll have it for you. You can come check us out later. Does that help, Jeffrey? He's gone. Let's go to Paula next. You're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds in for Bill Radke. We're talking about summer reads. Paula, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. Are you looking for a recommendation, or do you have a recommendation?
I'm actually looking for a recommendation.
All right. What do you like?
I like biographies. I've read plenty of people biographies, but I'm kind of focusing now more on animal biographies, like famous pets.
Famous pet
like
biographies.
Grumpy Cat.
Well, very specific recommendation here. A pet biography about a grumpy cat. Okay.
Oh, I know Grumpy Cat the meme, and I actually think I have a book that she might like.
Okay, Zoe, what is it?
I put this in the genre of book that I call the self-congratulatory liberal parent picture book, and it's called A Day in the Life of Marlon Bundo. It is a picture book about the bunny rabbit that belongs to the Pence family, and it is sort of a satire of this bunny that belongs to Mike Pence, and it turns out the bunny is gay. He likes another boy bunny, and he wants to get married, but the mean, evil stink bug says he can't get married to the boy bunny that he loves. It's very sweet. It's very silly. The illustrations are very funny. It's called A Day in the Life of Marlon Bundo.
No politics there.
Yeah.
purely metaphorical.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, there's a
pet biography, though.
Does that help, Paula?
Yes. Thank you very much.
You betcha. Tom, there's a book we wanted to get you to talk about. It's called Hope Never Dies.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So I hadn't actually, it came out pretty quickly. I hadn't heard about it in advance, but as soon as I saw the cover, I knew I had to get a stack of them.
And what's on the cover?
The cover is a picture of Joe Biden and Barack Obama. Biden is driving a convertible, and Obama is standing up through the roof, and he's pointing at something. It looks like out of the Rockford Files or something. And it is described—
A detective novel with—
Yes, it's the first, quote, Obama-Biden mystery. And I guess the guys have a lot of time on their hands, so now they can solve crimes. And it is just the tone of it is— So spot on, the picture, the idea. So I haven't heard back. We sold a lot. I haven't heard back from anybody who's read it, whether it holds up the whole way through. But I love the idea.
Well, have you read Hope Never Dies? Give us a call, 206-543-5869. Does it live up to the cover? Give us a call and tell us, or share with us one of your favorite summer reads. With us, Zoe Fisher, librarian of the Pierce College, and also Tom Nisley, owner of Finney Books. We're at 206-543-5869. We ask listeners on our social media accounts for their summer reads. Erica Sampson got back to us on Instagram. Her summer read is The Elephant Whisperer by Lawrence Anthony. She He writes, I'll be traveling to South Africa for the first time, and this book has inspired me to step out of my comfort zone with where I will be going, planning on going to the Thula Thula Reserve when I get there, end quote. Thanks for sharing that with us, Erica. And what a great genre to think about when you're traveling, books about the place that you're going to. What comes to mind when I prompt you with that, Tom? Hmm. A book that you can really enjoy if you were going to a particular place.
Last year, I was lucky enough to go to Spain for the first time.
Yeah.
So I read Javier Marías, who's, I would say, is the best-known Spanish novelist. Really well-known there, not as well-known here. So I tried one of his books, A Heart So White, and loved it. It's set in Madrid and Cuba, and it's very... It's not the kind of atmospheric historical where you feel like you're walking the streets of Madrid, but psychologically, I felt like I was getting to know Spanish people, and so that was my
favorite. Zoe, how about you? An idea for a great book if you're going to some place that'll really give you a sense of that place.
Well, I mentioned I was just in New York City, and about a month ago, I had the pleasure of listening to the audiobook of Tonight I'm Someone Else by Chelsea Hodson. Mm-hmm. She's an essayist. She writes, creative nonfiction. She's based out of Brooklyn, and her essays cover a wide range of subjects that include, being a model in New York City, but she grew up in Arizona, went to college there, and there's just something about her voice that's really mesmerizing physically, but also her word choice. And it just makes you think about what it's like to be young and be an artist and, live in New York City and try to find yourself. This book, I think, really simmers. And if you can listen to it on audiobook, it's available through the Seattle Public Library. Her voice is really lovely to listen to. It sounds like it could make water sweat on a glass. You know what I mean?
A voice that could make water sweat on a glass. That New York City prompted me to think of the book that should be on my summer reading list, The Power Broker, Robert Caro, about Robert Moses, the person who really shaped the city of New York. It's been constantly cited as a masterful work in the exercise of power. And of course, Robert Caro has gone on to write the four or five volume history of Lyndon Johnson, just an amazing history writer. We're talking about summer reads, 206-543-5869. And if you'd like to weigh in on our questions, do you read in the summer to get away from the world or to get into the world? 206-543-5869. You can tweet at us at KUOW. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Bonnie on the line. Bonnie, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks.
Do you have a book you want to tell us about, or are you looking for a book?
I'm looking for a recommendation. I'm leaving this weekend on a couple-week trip to Italy and France in the south, and looking for something to kind of peruse through my time. I like things like Gone Girl or The Hunger Games. Like I said, I'm not really an avid reader, but yeah, just something that's kind of gripping or interesting.
Okay, a trip to Europe. Some suggestions for something to read? Zoe, you're eagerly...
Yeah, the novel that I can't stop thinking about right now is the latest Oprah's book club pick. It's called An American Marriage by Tayari Jones. I don't know if you like letters in books, but I love those, epistolary books where there's letters back and forth between the characters. That always really gets me into a story. And this one's really gripping. It's about newlyweds Celestial and Roy, who are facing an uncertain future when Roy is sentenced to 12 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit. He's released after 5 years of incarceration, but he has no idea what his marriage is going to be when he returns home. These are characters that really get into your head. They're very complex and layered, and I think the premise is really exciting. And the author, Jones, said that she was inspired to write the story when she heard a couple arguing at the mall, and the woman said, "I wouldn't have waited 7 years for you, Roy." And she was also inspired by the book The Odyssey, this idea of a husband who has a long journey home and just wants to find a faithful wife waiting for him, but Celestial is no Penelope. So I think that if you like gripping fiction and exciting stories, this will really satisfy you.
Thanks, Zoe. Bonnie, hopefully that helps for you too. 206-543-5869. We've got a few minutes left. Zoe mentioned audiobooks. Tom, is there an audiobook that comes to mind that's a great summer listen?
Yeah, and one request that we get quite a bit is... not for the beach, but for getting to the beach, is for families who are driving together, who have a long road trip ahead. They want an audiobook that they can all listen to together. So, we've done the Harry Potter books, and those are fantastic as audiobooks. The one that came to mind for me is our favorite, E.B. White's The Trumpet of the Swan. Mm-hmm. So not his best-known book. It was his last kid's novel. The best thing about it is that he reads it, mm-hmm. and he has, as you might expect, he has this wonderfully dry Maine accent. So just hearing him say, there's certain lines from the book that we just recite as a family. So Montana, banana, banana. I can't do a Maine accent, but it's a good story, but it just, you feel like you're with him, this kind of crotchety, good-humored old guy who's telling you this story. So that's
a word of advice about audiobooks. My wife and I went on a trip with her father and his wife, and we thought Mambo King's Sing the Songs of Love would be a wonderful book to have because we loved that book. I think E.G. Marshall, TV guy, was narrating it. And we got to these points where he was talking about his throbbing muscle in these explicit sex scenes, and it didn't really come out quite right for that car trip. So check out what it is that you'll be listening to.
You're safe with E.B. White.
You're safe with that. Let's go to another phone call. We've got Gigi on the line. Gigi, do you have a recommendation, or are you looking for a suggestion?
Well, both. I wanted to recommend a book I just finished, Last, by Andrew Sean Greer. It was wonderful. It won the Pulitzer, but it's a great book for summer because you can read it just for the story. It's really funny and lovely and sweet, but it's also so incredibly well written, so that if you read it more closely, you'll see the genius of his writing. It's just wonderful. And then I want a recommendation for a new thriller.
Okay, what's that?
I love The Woman at the Window. What are some others? The Woman in Cabin 10. It doesn't have to have Woman in the title.
I was just going to ask, does it have to have Woman in the title?
They all do these days. This is more of a secondhand recommendation, which is what I do a lot as a bookseller, since I can't read everything. But the one that I've been wanting to read that we've had a lot of interest in is, it's called The Dry by Jane Harper. And I seem to be reading a lot of Australian books, some of my favorite writers these days. So it's another Australian book. It's, I think, her first novel. She's had another one come out, but that's been first time. It's kind of a suspense thriller, I think, like the ones you described, and that's the first on my reading list.
I just read The Fatal Shore by Robert Hughes, an amazing history of the creation of Australia. Hey, thanks a lot for your suggestions, Gigi. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Zoe Fisher, writer, lecturer, and librarian at Pierce College, thank you so much for stopping by. We appreciate it. Tom Nisley, author of A Reader's Book of Days and owner of Finney Books, thank you for stopping by, too. And we've collected all these books, so you don't have to have written them down. Mm-hmm. Go to kuow.org/record to find our list. It's not going to be there right now, but it'll be there shortly. That's kuow.org/record to find the list.